guy named Harry Smith, Jesse said.
Never heard of him, said Suitcase Simpson.
Said he's buying property on Stiles Island. Told me he wanted to get a feel for the town before he commits. Suitcase shrugged.
So? That makes sense. Guy's gonna lay out big bucks, wants to know he's in the right place.
Maybe.
What else?
Suitcase was a big round kid with blonde hair and red cheeks. He'd been a tackle on the Paradise High School team. He was 10 years younger than Jesse, and smarter than you thought he'd be. I don't know, Jesse said. I felt like I was getting hustled.
What did he say?
He asked about crime and how many policemen we had and how Stiles Island security tied in with us.
You think he's going to pull a job, and before he does, he comes and, like, checks with the chief of police?
Doesn't seem likely, does it?
No.
Jesse led his swivel chair back and put his feet up on the desk and looked out the window at the desultory traffic on Summer Street. When I was working South Central, some of the gangbangers would see you parked on the street and they'd come over and talk with you. Buddy-buddy-like. Couple of cops, couple of robbers, passing the time.
Why would they do that? I'd figure they hated cops.
They did, and they didn't. We were how they knew what they were, if you follow what I'm saying.
You were what?
They were the other side of us. We were the law tough guys. They were the outlaw tough guys. They kind of flirted with us.
Flirted?
Like a woman who wants you to be interested in her, but probably won't go to bed with you. Some bad guys are bad guys because they like the action. They get excited by the danger of being a bad guy. And it gets more exciting if you make it more dangerous. Not getting caught is even more fun if you almost get caught.
Jesus, Jesse, sometimes you get these theories. You know any compulsive gamblers?
Every cop knows a compulsive gambler. They get in trouble.
Right. What is it they like about gambling?
The action?
And what creates the action?
I don't know.
What makes gambling a gamble? Jesse said.
Suitcase stared at him, concentrating. Jesse waited. Then Suitcase's wide pink face relaxed a little.
That you might lose.
That's it. You get it about the gangbangers and Smith?
Yeah.
If he's that way.
I mean, you're the chief, Jesse. I'm just a patrolman.
Senior investigative patrolman, Jesse said.
Yeah, sure, whatever, but maybe Mr. Smith is just worried about the security of his real estate investment.
Maybe he is. Let's see if we can find out. Jesse handed Suitcase a pink telephone message slip. There were numbers written on the back. When Smith left here, his wife picked him up in a car with those plates on it. Why don't you run him down? Suitcase took the slip and folded it into his shirt pocket.
If he's buying real estate on Stiles, Suitcase said, he must be doing business with one of the brokers.
Marcy Campbell. I saw her with him and his wife at the Regatta Dance.
You know, I never been to one of them.
I'll get you a paid detail for the next one. See what you're missing.
Want me to talk to Mrs. Campbell, too?
No, I'll do that. Suitcase did a small double take.
Something going on, Jesse?
Jesse smiled. What makes you think so?
There's something about how you said that so quick. You tagging Mrs. Campbell?
We're friends, Suit. I like her.
A lot of people been friends with Mrs. Campbell.
Find out about Harry Smith, Suit. I'll talk with Mrs. Campbell.
Sure, Jesse.
Ask around a little, too, but not too obvious. I'd rather he didn't know we were asking.
Okay,
Suitcase said. He stood and went to the door.
You know, I think Abby Taylor's getting interested in you again, too, Suitcase said. She was asking me about you when I was getting coffee at the Village Room.
What was she asking?
About you and your ex, and were you going out with anyone, stuff like that?
Just polite conversation.
No, it was not.
Jesse shrugged.
Suitcase was a heavy-handed kidder, but an enthusiastic one. Man, Mrs. Campbell, your ex, now Miss Taylor? You're a damn golden boy, Jesse. I wish I was from California.
I wish you were in California. Go investigate Harry Smith.
Yes, sir, Chief Stone.
Macklin looked around happily. He had the whole crew with him, ranged in a semicircle in Faye's living room. It was the first time he had them all together. Faye served drinks.
Drink up, Macklin said, because when we get close, everybody goes on the wagon.
How close are we now? Crow said.
Still gathering data, Macklin said.
What's the ocean like around the island, Freddy?
Channel between the island and the neck is not navigable. Way the water churns in there be like navigating a blender.
So?
So, if I take you off on this side, at the boat club, which is the only place I can, I got to go all the way around the island to get to the open sea.
Puts us between the town and the island for how long?
Depends on which way the tide is and which way the wind's blowing at the time.
For Christ's sake, Freddy, give me a time. Ballpark.
Half hour?
Too long. Can you take us off the other side?
Long as the weather holds.
Take you right off by the restaurant, but you gotta get to me. I can't get in closer than maybe 50 yards.
Too shallow?
Too shallow? Too rocky? There's a lot of rock jumble slid down off the stone face over the last million years.
So how do we get to you?
Wade out. It's only about 5 feet deep at the most.
I hold the boat steady out past the rocks.
You walk out to me.
Macklin nodded.
We'll work something out, he said. Maybe we can find a small rowboat and stash it.
Either way, Costa said, weather's gotta be good.
We'll try to pick a nice day, Macklin said. Costa heard the sarcasm. He paid no attention. He knew what he knew. Bad weather, you couldn't get through those rocks.
Anybody needs to get onto the island, you take my car, Macklin said. The real estate broad thinks you're my contractors. She gave me a visitor's pass because I'm such a hot prospect.
You put the pass on the dashboard and drive up, and the guard waves you through.
I'll need a look at the underside of the bridge, Fran said.
Freddy will get you as close as he can, and you can use binoculars. JD, you go with him. I think all the wire from the island runs under the bridge.
What makes you think that? J.D. said.
Mrs. Campbell told me.
Maybe she's just saying it. Sell you some property.
Well, where else would they run it?
On the floor of the harbor.
When they have a nice bridge?
They might have wanted power out there while they were building the bridge.
Okay, Macklin said.
We won't guess. Find out about it.
Yes, sir, Captain, J.D. said.
Macklin gestured his glass at Faye, and she made him a new drink and put it at his elbow. She put her hand on his shoulder as she set the drink down. Macklin patted her hand absently.
Weapons, Crow said.
Macklin nodded. Shotguns. Rifles. 100 rounds each.
Crow raised his eyebrows.
Better too much than too little, Macklin said.
Everybody here got a piece of his own?
I got a Winchester on the boat, Costa said.
Handgun, J.D. said.
Fran nodded. Crow, make sure each of us has rifle, shotgun, and handgun. Fran, you'll take care of your own explosives?
Soon as I figure out what I need, Fran said.
Faye brought in a platter of sandwiches, mixed some more drinks, leaned her hips against the sideboard, and watched Jimmy when she wasn't busy.
He's happy, she thought. He loves this, getting the crew together, planning the action, attending to all the details, smoothing out any friction. He should have been some kind of army officer.
She watched him lean back in his chair, sipping his drink, a triangular sandwich half in his other hand.
He loves these guys, Faye thought.
It bothered her a little that he'd gone to see the police chief. Jimmy was a thrill seeker. It was why he did what he did. He needed to get too close to the edge. The greater the risk, the greater the excitement. Sometimes he risked too much.
She hadn't liked Jimmy's reaction to the chief. The chief was more than Jimmy had expected.
How about a bazooka? Macklin was saying.
A bazooka, Crow said.
Rocket launcher, whatever, so if there's a police boat, we can blow them out of the water.
I'll put it on the list, Crow said. Faye couldn't tell if Crow was smiling or not.